This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
So, yeah, baby, well, there's a lot of derangement out there, and the left is melting down over the fact that J.D. Vance was defending freedom of speech in Europe. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I appreciate you being here today. Appreciate you being here every day, of course, obviously. It's a big show, and I'm very excited to welcome back to the show our next guest. He comes on every week. They do fantastic work at the Media Research Center and newsbusters.org. Now, they're keeping an eye on the lefty corporate legacy media, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and you got to keep an eye on them. Trump administration is taking the fight to them. Good. And these guys are keeping an eye on them. And Bill D'Agostino, my man, senior research analyst at the Media Research Center. Follow him on X at @band_Bill. Hey, Bill, welcome back, my friend.
Good to see you, Rich. How's it going?
Good to see you. It's going great. What a weekend, huh? Margaret Brennan. I mean, yeah. She gets the award, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's there's something kind of psychotic about like openly advocating against free speech when your side controls zero of the three branches of federal government at the highest echelon.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I know that there's technically no party politics in the judicial branch. Right. But like, let's be realistic. Conservatives control the Supreme Court right now. So they're 0-for-3 and they're out there stumping against free speech. Like that's not how politics is played. I can't make sense of it, to be honest.
It seems like the Democrats are still putting the craziest members of their party front and center at every opportunity they can.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows how undisciplined and emotionally deranged they are, yeah. I think. Right. I mean, the left's playbook has been for the better half of the 20th century, at least. Ride the free speech wave, right? Like champion free speech until you assume control. And then and only then do you start stamping out dissidents, right? I mean, Mao didn't arrange his revolution by telling all of his sparrow revolutionaries, look, we're going to use you to overthrow the government. But once I'm in power, I'm going to send you guys to go starve on the edge of the country because you'll be dangerous to my authoritarian regime, right? Like he didn't say that. You don't give the game away before you take power. But they can't help themselves, right? And I think that's kind of what we're seeing now, is they can't stop revealing their totalitarian tendencies.
No, and this speech in Europe by J.D. Vance, Vice President Vance. So first of all, I really appreciated the fact that he took this position and made it clear to them how the United States of America feels about Europe's encroachment on freedom of speech. And it is it's a point now where Western values used to mean something. And I think Western values used to mean freedom and liberty. And at some point along the way, people contorted that to say Western values means oppression. And I mean, the left did, you know, obviously oppression, colonialism, imperialism, blah, blah, blah. But there was a time where Western values meant we defeated the Nazis. We embraced freedom of speech. We were the good guys on the side of the wall that people were free. And the people on the other side of the wall, on the Eastern side, they wanted to be in the West because of our values.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that what's changed is that the left has kind of become obsessed with positive rights as opposed to negative rights.
It's a great point.
Right. And like what I mean by that is, for example, like the Second Amendment is, yeah, it's saying you have the right to bear arms, but what's really saying is the government doesn't have the right to infringe on your ability to bear arms, right? First Amendment is the government can't infringe on your speech, right? It's protection from violations.
Right.
As opposed to positive rights, like you have the right not to be offended, right? Or not to see content that you don't like on, say, X.
There was a comment over the weekend, you know, that was made about this whole notion of, well, if somebody in Germany posts something that offends somebody, is that a crime? And they were like, yeah, it's a crime. I mean, that's right. Where a lot of countries are heading. I think the United Kingdom is already there. And this and there are people in this country who would jump at that chance to be able to institute hate speech laws and disinformation laws and be able to go after people under the guise of you're hurting people's feelings or you're spreading disinformation about the climate or whatever it is. I mean, they would love to do that. That's why I think as conservatives, it's incumbent upon us to be careful about giving them more power over the social media in order to protect the children or whatever it is, because the left is just jonesing for that. You know, they want that power at some point.
Right. And that's always what it is, right? Is it's always some well-intentioned expansion of administrative or executive power that they then use and pervert to basically just achieve their whims, right? Because the left is ultimately focused on the intent of the law, not the actual outcome of the law. Although that's maybe that's a discussion for a different time. But
true.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. I've maintained for a long time that the UK and Canada are basically just two potential models of what the U.S. would be without a Bill of Rights and a Republican Party.
Yeah, well, that's a great analogy, Bill. Bill DiAgostino is with us, senior research analyst at the Media Research Center. All right, we got some clips to go through that you have curated from the weekend. What do we got today on this edition?
Well, we led with her. I imagine most of your audience has already seen this, but let's take a look at Margaret Brennan falling flat on her face talking to Secretary Rubio there.
He was standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide. And he met with the head of a political party that has far right views and some historic ties to extreme groups. The context of that was changing the tone of it. And you know that the censorship
was specifically about
the right.
No, I have to disagree with you. Free speech was not used to conduct a genocide. The genocide was conducted by an authoritarian Nazi regime that happened to also be genocidal because they hated Jews and they hated minorities and they hated those that they had a list of people they hated, but primarily the Jews. There was no free speech in Nazi Germany. There was none. There was also no opposition in Nazi Germany. They were a sole and only party that governed that country. So that's not an accurate reflection of history.
Bill, everything I know about the Nazis, I learned from watching Raiders of the Lost Ark and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. So, I mean, I remember a scene where they were burning books and Indiana Jones had, I forget something, and Hitler grabbed it from him and signed it. So wasn't that the country that burned books? I don't remember them being a bastion of freedom of speech. What am I missing here?
Yeah, right. And I mean, I'm endlessly impressed with Secretary Rubio's ability there to be that polite, right? Because I mean, if it was any of us, I think we would be just laughing in her face, right? It's the most historically illiterate take I think, imaginable. I mean, when people compare something to the Nazis, that's basically just a stand-in for saying you were being unimaginably authoritarian, right? And so to say that Nazis depended on free speech is, it's absurd. And it's, we actually saw a bunch of journalists trying to defend her over the weekend on Twitter too, and they were all getting mobbed as well. But
oh, they were. Good.
Yeah, I think that the left, you know, took that one out for a test drive. It didn't work, and hopefully they shelf it. I mean, or not. Look, guys, be my guest. If you want to keep trying the Nazis like free speech line of argument, okay. Like you don't need to have a strong showing in the 2026 midterm. So if this is your angle, go right ahead, guys.
It's so crazy that I didn't, when somebody said this to me, I thought it was AI. I really did. I'm like, this is AI. Because I went to the World War II Museum in New Orleans, which I highly recommend. And throughout going through the Eastern campaign, obviously, you know, the European theater, at no point did I see anything about them battling the Germans, the Nazis, for their love of free speech. Like, at no point was that a motivating fact, and like D-Day or anything else. Like, we got to silence these bastards with all of their freedom of speech and the way that they're just going on and on and letting people say anything they want about the Fuhrer. Like, they would kill you if you went out there and criticized Adolf Hitler. You'd wind up in a prison.
Right. Yeah. There is no Holocaust museum anywhere that has an exhibit dedicated to the offensive memes that Nazis were posting everywhere. Right. Or that German people who weren't even Nazis were permitted to post willy nilly, much to the chagrin of everybody else.
Yeah.
Right. That's not how this worked. It's a little sad to see Margaret Brennan arguing against free speech when she is ostensibly a journalist. But again, I mean, the left. They lack all discipline at this point. They can't help themselves. They have basically no power left other than the cultural institutions that they inherited from their much more savvy forebears, right? Who knew how to keep their true intentions closer to the chest. But they really can't help themselves. And okay, like if you guys need to show your hand, if you actually need to make your 2026 midterm stump speech, vote for us and we'll arrest you for memes, please, then okay.
Let's break this one down together, Bill. I love this one here. This is 60 Minutes now. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, so this was the clip of various German politicians talking about arresting people for memes. And we can watch the clip first. But yeah, I've got plenty to say about this.
All right, cut 22.
It's 6:01 on a Tuesday morning. And we were with state police as they raided this apartment in northwest Germany.
Here's die Polizei. Wir müssen bitte mal mit Ihnen reden.
Inside, six armed officers searched a suspect's home, then seized his laptop and cell phone. Prosecutors say those electronics may have been used to commit a crime. The crime? Posting a racist cartoon online. At the exact same time, across Germany, more than 50 similar raids played out. Part of what prosecutors say is a coordinated effort to curb online hate speech in Germany.
There's a lot to unpack here, Bill, but first of all, they sound so excited for this ride along.
Right.
They not sound so excited.
Yeah, and that's really the main thrust of this, right? Is they're sharing this not to gawk at how authoritarian it is, but because they see this as enviable.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the entire theme of this whole report is, guys, that could be us. Right? It's like when you see all of these anti-crime people posting those videos of like that Japanese show where they send the little four-year-old out on like an errand and the kid takes the bus all on their own and goes to the store all on their own. And they're like, guys, we could have this too if we crack down on crime. This is basically the left-wing version of that, right? They're like, look, we could get rid of all the hate speech if we just started arresting people. Germany does it. We could do it too. That is the tone of this whole report.
I mean, ironically, and it's not ironic, actually, it would probably be like Alanis Morissette ironic, but the idea that the founders had who berated each other with political cartoons and the like is that we can avoid authoritarianism if we allow freedom of speech. And if you clamp down on it under the guise of offending people, you will actually then have less freedom. Bill, I have to wrap early because President Trump is speaking, but this was great as always. I really appreciate your time, my man. I love this segment. I appreciate you doing it with me every week. Bill D'Agostino, please follow him on X at @band_Bill. And there's only one man I'd ever bump before, buddy, and that's the president. I mean that.
No problem. No problem, Rich. I'd do the same to you.
Thanks, Bill.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, let's jump in here. The president speaking at Mar-a-Lago.
Having to do also with cars and lots of other things. We're going to be announcing some very, very big, momentous decisions are being made by companies all around the world, the biggest, and they want to come back into the U.S. Car plants are being canceled in other locations now because they want to build them here. And you read about a couple, not that I want to mention names or anything, but you read about a couple of big ones in Mexico just got canceled because they're going to be building them in the United States. And that's very simply because of what we're doing with respect to taxes, tariffs, and incentives. And I think it's a very important thing. And you'll be seeing this over the next probably over the next 2 years, to be honest, but you're going to see a lot of it over the next couple of weeks. A lot of big ones are going to be announcing. And so while we're here, I guess we can take a couple of quick questions. Go ahead, please. Please.
You decided specifically what the auto tariff rate should be?
Yeah, I probably will tell you that on April 2nd, but it'll be in the neighborhood of 25%.
What about semiconductors and pharmaceuticals?
It'll be 25% and higher, and it'll go very substantially higher over a course of a year. But we want to give them time to come in because, as you know, when they come into the United States and they have their plant or factory here, there is no tariff. So we want to give them a little bit of a chance. Yes, thank you.
The EU representative is going to be here in Washington tomorrow. He's going to be meeting with Hassett and Greer and Letnik. What can the EU do to sort of avoid the reciprocal tariffs that you've talked about? And, you know, you've talked a lot about the VAT. Do you expect them to reduce that?
Well, they did already, as I understand it, reduce their car tariff all the way down to what we have. And a lot of that will take place, and I think some won't do it and some will do it. But the EU had a 10% tax on cars, and now they have a 2.5% tax, which is the exact same as us. So already we've saved a tremendous amount. That would be great. If everybody would do that, then we'd all be on the same playing field. Because essentially what we're doing with the tariffs is, you know, they charge us, we charge them, same amount. And it's called reciprocal, actually. And whatever they charge us, we're charging them. And so the EU is, you know, I appreciate that they did this, but, you know, the EU has been very unfair to us. We have a deficit of $350 billion. They don't take our cars. They don't take our farm products. They don't take almost anything. They take very little. And we're going to have to straighten that out. And we will. I have no doubt about it. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Koreans have been killed, as you know. Quite a bit of them have been killed. They came over to fight, and a large portion have been wiped out. But we want to end it. It's a senseless war. It should have never happened, would have never happened if I was president. And it's a shame to see it. And I see pictures that you don't see, but I see pictures of fields that look just horrible. It looks like Gettysburg. If you see the old pictures of Gettysburg, it's soldiers lying all over the field, body parts all over the field. They're all dead. And this is going on a daily basis. It's a horrible thing. Both Russia and Ukraine, they're losing thousands and thousands of soldiers. And a lot of people have been killed, too. I think that's one of the things that you'll see historically and you'll see later on as it goes along. I think people are going to be surprised at how many people, not only soldiers, have been killed in Ukraine. A lot more people than you think. Yeah, please.
President Trump, as part of a peace deal with Putin, would you be willing to consider removing all American troops from Europe?
Well, nobody's asked me to do that, so I don't think we'd have to do that. I wouldn't want to do that. But that question's never really come up. Yeah. Please.
Sir, do you support stationing European peacekeeping troops in Ukraine as part of this peace deal?
If they want to do that, that's great. I'm all for it. If they want to do that, I think that'd be fine.
Even if the Russians are...
I mean, I know France has mentioned it. Others have mentioned it. UK has mentioned it. But If we have a peace deal, I think having troops over there from the standpoint of Europe, we won't have to put any over there because, you know, we're very far away. But having troops over there would be fine. I would not object to it at all. We're talking about this now, peace. We have either a ceasefire or a peace itself, and we're looking to do both. We'd start off with the ceasefire, and if they want to do that. I know France was willing to do that, and I thought that was a beautiful gesture. Yeah, please.
Do you have any message for Ukrainians who, after 3 years of fighting, might feel betrayed or disappointed at not having a seat at these initial talks in Saudi Arabia?
Well, I think I'm really disappointed in what's happened. I've been watching this for 3 years. It's a war that would have never happened if I was president. And I've been watching these people being killed at levels that you've rarely seen, not even close, since the Second World War. And I'm very disappointed. I hear that, you know, they're upset about not having a seat. Well, they've had a seat for 3 years and a long time before that. This could have been settled very easily. Just a half-baked negotiator could have settled this years ago without the loss of much land, very little land, without the loss of any lives, and without the loss of cities that are just laying on their side. You have those magnificent golden domes that are shattered, will never be replaced. You can't replace them. 1,000-year-old domes that are so beautiful, you can't replace that. The whole civilization has changed because of what? So when they're worried about not being seated, you mean somebody that should have gone in and made a deal a long time ago. You could have made a deal. This is one that could have made a deal. There was no talk of this during the Trump administration. Putin would have never, ever done it. And by the way, we wouldn't have had October 7th. You know that. We wouldn't have had October 7th either in Israel. And we wouldn't have had that mess that's going on over there. It's like we have great fire people here. We're putting out fires all over the world. We're putting out fires. So that wouldn't have happened. And you know what else wouldn't have happened? Inflation. Because it was caused really by the cost of energy going through the roof because of their bad energy policies and also their spending, their terrible spending, wasteful spending on the Green New Scam. It's a scam. It's a whole big scam. Yeah, please.
Yes, sir. I want to ask you a little closer to home. What would it take for you to reconsider the restrictions on the Associated Press? And secondly, some of your advisors are concerned with the Associated Press's style guide, using language and giving guidance to not use words like illegal immigrant or to use phrases like gender-affirming care. And they're concerned about that being an encroaching amount of liberalism in the way in which the press writes about things. Do you share those concerns?
Well, I do think that some of the phrases that they want to use are ridiculous. And I think, frankly, they become obsolete, especially in the last 3 weeks, because many things have happened in the last 3 weeks. And I didn't know about that, but I would say that if they want to use certain phrases like that, and I guess some are okay, but many aren't. But the Associated Press just refuses to go with what the law is and what is taking place. It's called the Gulf of America now. It's not called the Gulf of Mexico any longer. I have the right to do it, just like we have the right to do Mount McKinley, and nobody's even challenging that. But only the essentially, it's primarily the Associated Press, and I don't know what they're doing, but I just say that we're going to keep them out until such time as they agree that it's the Gulf of America. We're very proud of this country, and we want it to be the Gulf of America. Now, the Associated Press, as you know, has been very, very wrong on the election, on Trump, and the treatment of Trump, and other things having to do with Trump and Republicans and conservatives. And they're doing us no favors, and I guess I'm not doing them any favors. That's the way life works. But, you know, thank you for the question. Who are you with? Very good question. Thank you. Yes.
President Trump speaking right now, Mar-a-Lago.
We're hearing after that Russia signing some executive orders, Ukraine to hold new elections in order to sign any kind of a peace deal. Is that something that the U.S. would ever support?
Well, we have a situation where we haven't had elections in Ukraine. Well, we have martial law, essentially martial law in Ukraine, where the leader in Ukraine, I mean, I hate to say it, but he's down at 4% approval rating, and where a country has been blown to smithereens. You got most of the cities are laying on their sides. The buildings are collapsed. It looks like a massive demolition site. the whole, I mean, so many of the cities. I mean, they haven't done it in Kiev because I guess they don't want to shoot too many rockets in there. They've done it 20%, but they haven't done it 100%. If they wanted to do it 100%, it would probably happen very quickly. But you have cities that are absolutely decimated. And, yeah, I would say that, you know, when they want a seat at the table, you could say the people have to, wouldn't the people of Ukraine have to say, like, you know, it's been a long time since we've had an election. That's not a Russia thing. That's something coming from me and coming from many other countries also. You know, Ukraine is being just wiped out. Look at what's happening to the cities. There are cities, there's not even a building standing. It's a massive, it's, you talk about Gaza. I mean, it's literally, these cities look like Gaza. Actually, many have, percentage-wise, more buildings knocked down than in Gaza. So, you know, people are tired of it. People want to see something happen. And, you know, the other thing that it's been bothering me for a long time, because I solved the problem with NATO. They paid hundreds of billions of dollars into the funds of NATO when I said, you got to pay, because the United States was paying for European countries, and then they take advantage of us on trade. But I've seen it. Look, we have to, they have to pay. They have to find out, where is the money going to? We have, I believe President Zelensky said last week that he doesn't know where half of the money is that we gave him. Well, we gave them, I believe, $350 billion, but let's say it's something less than that, but it's a lot. And we have to equalize with Europe, because Europe has given us given a very much smaller percentage than that. I think Europe has given $100 billion, and we've given, let's say, $300 plus. And it's more important for them than it is for us. We have an ocean in between, and they don't. But where is all the money that's been given? Where is it going? And nobody, I've never seen an accounting of it. We give hundreds of billions of dollars. I don't see any accounting. So I want to see peace. Look, you know why I want? Because I don't want all these people killed anymore. I'm looking at people that
makes
are being
sense
killed.
To me.
And they're Russian and Ukrainian people, but they're people. Doesn't matter where they're from on the whole planet. And I think I have the power to end this war. And I think it's going very well. But today I heard, oh, well, we weren't invited. Well, you've been there for 3 years. You should have ended it 3 years. You should have never started it. You could have made a deal. I could have made a deal for Ukraine that would have given them almost all of the land, everything, almost all of the land, and no people would have been killed, and no city would have been demolished, and not one dome would have been knocked down. But they chose not to do it that way. And President Biden, in all fairness, he doesn't have a clue. What he was so bad for this. He was so bad, so pathetic, so sad. But with all of that being said, look, it is what it is. When I left, there was no chance that this could have happened. But it happened because we had incompetent leadership at many different levels. But when you see what's taken place in Ukraine with millions of people killed, including the soldiers, millions of people killed, a big percentage of their cities knocked down to the ground. I don't know how anybody even lives there. You know, when they say they took a poll and Zelensky's at 4%, who's living there? You know, I mean, people are, it's hard to believe that people live there. Their cities are being knocked down. And this is something that would have never happened. And by the way, for 4 years, it didn't happen. It was never going to happen. Go ahead.
One follow-up question. How would you counter the perception, because Russia's pushing for this, obviously, they don't really hold true elections, that that would be a capitulation of some sort. How would you guard against potentially Russia installing a puppet government? And then finally, how would that new election have an impact on getting Zelensky to sign the rare earth minerals deal?
Look, you have leadership, and I like him personally. He's fine. But I don't care about personally. I care about getting the job done. You have leadership now that's allowed a war to go on that should have never even happened, even without the United States. Look, we had a president who was grossly incompetent. He had no idea what he was doing. He said some very stupid things, like going in for portions and all of the things. He made a lot of bad statements, but he's grossly incompetent, and I think everyone knew that. This is something that should have never happened, would have never happened. And I used to discuss it with Putin. President Putin and I would talk about Ukraine. It was the apple of his eye, I will tell you that. But there was never a chance of him going in. And I told him, you better not go in. Don't go in. Don't go in. And he understood that. He understood it fully. But I'm only interested. I want to see if I can save maybe millions of lives. This could even end up in a World War III. I mean, to be honest with you, you've been hearing now Europe is saying, well, I think we're going to go in and we're going to go. All of a sudden, you're going to end up in World War III over something that should have never happened. And, you know, it's a very sad situation. Yeah, please.
In a court filing, the White House said that Elon Musk is not a DOGE employee and has no authority to make decisions. Can you clarify for us today
what his exact role is there? Yeah. Elon is, to me, a patriot. So, you know, you could call him an employee, you could call him a consultant, you could call him whatever you want. But he's a patriot. I mean, look at the kind of things. I just said, just write it down, just in case that question got asked, right? And which I'm surprised it took so long, actually. But you know what? Ukraine's a bigger deal because people are dying by the thousands a week, thousands. But look at this. From 90 to 99, Social Security, 6,054,000 people. Well, that's okay. Maybe that's possible. You know, 90 to 90, 99, maybe it's possible. It's a lot of people, though, at that. But people that live to 100 to 109, 4,734,000. Wow, that's a lot. That means over 100 years old, they're 4 million people. I don't know. I don't know too many. I know people that are doing great in their 90s, but not too many people over 100. But over 120, from 120 years old, people that are 120 years old up to 129, 3,472,000 people. Wow. You know, that can't possibly be, because the record is like, I think it's one person, a woman, lived to 127, but they have 3,472. Okay, but now we're going really in. People from 130 years old to 139 year old, 3,936,000. Wow. I wonder if people are getting paid with all this. I mean, are these checks, and that's what we're checking right now. People from 140 years old to 149 years old, 3,542,000, 140 years old and beyond. Now we're really going, because we're looking to break the record by 25 years. People from 150 years old to 159 years old, 1,345,000. These are in the computer files. This is what they do well. They're super. I asked Elon, who are these Doge people? He said they're super brilliant computer people and they love the country. It's simple. Wait a minute. People from 160 years old to 169 years, 121,000. So 160-year-old people, 170 to 179,000, 6,087. But now, let's go into the real numbers. From 200 to 209 years old, 879 people. From 210 years old, I haven't met any of them. And if I did, I would bless them. I would worship the ground they walk on. 210 to 219 years, 866. From 220 years old to 229 years old, 1,039. And then you have two people from 240 years old to 249 years old, one person. And there's one person that's 360 years old. That's just that. And then where's the money being spent, right? Let's go into that for just a second. $520 million for a consultant on the environment. It's called Environmental, Social, and Governance Investments in Africa, and mobilize private sector resources. $520 million. Somebody got $520 million for an environmental, sounds like an environmental study. I've always been one that paid a lot of money for my environmental studies, but they, you know, I paid like $50,000, not $520 million. $520 million for ESG. $25 million to promote biodiversity, conservation, and promote licit livelihoods by developing socially responsible behavior in the country of Colombia. Well, it's nice, $25 million to go into Colombia for something that nobody ever heard of. $40 million to improve the social and economic inclusion of sedentary migrants, $40 million. $42 million for Johns Hopkins, great place to research and drive social and behavior change in Uganda, $42 million. What about us? What about social change in our country? $70 million for a center at Purdue to research university-sourced, evidence-based solutions to developmental challenges. I mean, these are massive numbers on things that nobody ever heard about. $10 million for Mozambique voluntary medical male circumcisions. $10 million for circumcisions in another country. $9.7 million for UC Berkeley to develop a cohort of Cambodian youth with enterprise-driven skills. In other words, let's teach them something about enterprise. What about our people? Can we teach them about enterprise? $2.3 million for strengthening independent voices in Cambodia. $32 million to the Prague Civil Society Center, which is a very liberal group of people. Wonder how much of that money came back to the people that approved it. $14 million for improving public procurement in Serbia. $486 million to the Consortium for Elections and Political Process Strengthening, including $22 million for inclusive and participatory political process in Moldova, and $21 million for voter turnout in India. Well, why are we giving $21 million to India? They got a lot of money. They're one of the highest taxing countries in the world in terms of us. We can hardly get in there because their tariffs are so high. I have a lot of respect for India. I have a lot of respect for the Prime Minister. He just left, as you know, 2 days ago. But we're giving $21 million for voter turnout. It's voter turnout in India. What about, like, voter turnout here? Oh, we've done that, I guess. We did $500 million, didn't we? It's called the lockboxes. $20 million for fiscal federalism in Nepal. Listen to these numbers. This is all fraud. $19 million for biodiversity conservation in Nepal. $1.5 million for voter confidence. We want to give them confidence in Liberia. $14 million for social cohesion in Mali. $2.5 million for inclusive democracies in South Africa. $47 million for improving learning outcomes in Asia. Asia's doing very well. They're doing a lot better than we do in the schools, aren't they? $2 million to develop sustainable recycling models to increase socioeconomic cohesion among marginalized communities in Kosovo and Eskali and in Egypt. We're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. I could, by the way, I could read this all day long. I could go on all day long, and you'll see hundreds of billions of dollars, and we're doing it. But when I saw the Social Security numbers, I said, wow, that's really something. So we have, let's just go above 100 years old. We have millions and millions of people over 100 years old. Everybody knows that's not so. We have a very corrupt country, very corrupt country, and it's a sad thing to say, but we're figuring it out. Now, the good thing about Social Security and what I read is if you take all of those numbers off, because they're obviously fraudulent or incompetent, but if you take all of those millions of people off Social Security, all of a sudden we have a very powerful Social Security with people that are 80 and 70 and 90, but not 200 years old. You know, so it's a very positive thing. How about over here? Yeah, please.
Your reaction. It's the president speaking at Mar-a-Lago, going through all the waste, fraud, and abuse.
I don't know.
I'm not interrupting him, by the way.
Dinder got fired, I think.
Oh, okay.
You know, when you fire somebody, they always resign, and then they say, we resigned.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll keep this going here. We're just going to pause it. President speaking from Mar-a-Lago, but I am not interrupting him this time. I should interrupt him, though, since he's not going to be at the White House tomorrow, and I am. I should interrupt him. I'm not going to, but since I'm getting stuck with low-energy cabinet officials tomorrow, it's worthy of interruption. However, I'm being respectful. Okay? I'm being respectful. Well, we got to take a quick break. We got a bunch of, we'll come right back. Don't go away. We're streaming live on YouTube. And he's got a beautiful tie on. I really like the blue tie. I'm glad the blue ties are coming back because I love blue ties. And I hate the fact that they were associated with the Democrats because I love blue. It's my favorite color. So that's good. Beautiful tie. Anyway, we'll come right back. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
All right, so the president is taking questions at Mar-a-Lago. Look, I think it's important to hear from the president when the press is asking him questions. These are very important issues. This isn't just a speech or a rally. These are questions from the press. Biden never did this. President Trump is incredibly accessible to the press. So I think it's important to hear this. And obviously, I'm a little mad at him since he's not going to be at the White House tomorrow, and I am. But I'm still going to get over it and be a big boy about it. But anyway, we're going to jump back in here. I don't know how long we'll go with this, but he's still talking to the press. And this is very important stuff. He's talking about the war, Ukraine, war and peace, and all the spending and all the waste, like billions of dollars for circumcisions in countries around the world. That's just nonsense. And all the fraud on Social Security. This is very important stuff here. So let's jump back into the president taking questions from Mar-a-Lago.
All of a sudden, we have a very powerful Social Security with people that are 80 and 70 and 90, but not 200 years old. You know, so it's a very positive thing. How about over here? Yeah, please.
Your reaction to Michelle King, the head resigning after the DOJ.
Who resigned?
The head of Social Security.
I don't know. I mean, resigned or got fired? I think got fired. You know, when you fire somebody, they always resign, and then they say, we resigned. But when you have numbers like that, I think, really, it's got fired. They have to get fired. Who would keep them? How could you have numbers like this? Now, the big thing is, how many of these people got paid? Were they getting paid? How many of them were getting paid Social Security? Because if that's the case, it's a massive fraud. We'll have to call those great Palm Beach police into the situation, right? You guys would figure that out very quickly. But how many of them are being paid? I mean, maybe millions of them, but it's a total fraud. Also, a lot of illegal immigrants are in Social Security that shouldn't be there. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Mr. President, there was a big wave of probationary federal workers who were fired over the weekend. Some of these workers focus on nuclear weapon security, were immediately rehired. Do you have any concerns about how these terminations have
No, been? Not at all. I think we have to just do what we have to do. It's, you know, you're going to, it's amazing what's been found right now. It's amazing. Yeah, if we feel that in some cases they'll fire people and then they'll put some people back, not all of them, because a lot of people were let go. Don't forget, I got elected on the basis of making our government stronger and smaller, because we have millions of people that obviously they're paying millions of people that shouldn't be paid. And that has also to do with workers. Yeah, please. No, go ahead. Axios, New York Times.
Mr. President, given your concerns about corruption, you said that if there were any conflicts of interest with Elon Musk, you wouldn't let him anywhere near it.
That's right.
Doge and SpaceX employees are now working directly at the Federal Aviation Administration and the Defense Department, agencies that have billions of dollars in contracts with Musk's companies or that directly regulate his companies. How is that not a conflict of interest?
Well, I mean, I'm just hearing about it. And if there is, and he told me before I told him, but obviously I will not let there be any conflict of interest. He's done an amazing job. They've revealed, in fact, he's going to be on tonight, a big show called Sean Hannity at 9 o'clock, and he's on, and I'm on, and we talk about a lot of different things. And any conflicts, I told Elon, any conflicts, you can't have anything to do with that. So anything to do with possibly even space, we won't let Elon partake in that. Yeah, please.
On immigration, sir, you said you would be sending the worst of the worst to Guantanamo Bay. What we're finding out is that there are a lot of low-risk migrants who don't have a criminal background who are also being sent. Are you thinking about this differently now?
No. They're going to be brought back to their countries. And with some persuasion, every one of those countries, everyone in the, as you know, every country is taking the people back. So some of them are going to be brought back to many of them, any of them that are low risk, as you say, are going to be brought back to their countries. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Can you give us a bit of an update on where you stand with Venezuela? It's
sure.
Oil. There's a basically a monthly license that can soon extend.
Well, you know, we had Venezuela on the run, and it looked like that was going to be very good. And when Biden came in, as he always does, he screws it up. And they started buying millions and millions and millions of dollars of oil, billions of dollars, actually, of oil. And it gave them a new lease, a new lease on life. But we'll see. We had some pretty good discussions with a lot of people within our government, in the United States government, that are involved in that. And Venezuela's a little bit early, but, you know, we were not buying from Venezuela when Biden came in for whatever reason. Instead of just taking the beautiful, as I call it, liquid gold, we have more than anybody. They started paying a fortune to Venezuela, and we're looking at that, actually. Why did they do that? Why were they doing that? Why would they go to the enemy and give them billions and billions of dollars? Now, with that being said, as you know, Venezuela has said very strongly they will not take any illegal immigrant, any of the people that they sent over to us. They sent their gangs, probably the worst gang anywhere in the world, as bad as MS-13, maybe worse, and they came out of the jails of Venezuela. They emptied their jails into our country, and they said, we'll never take them back. Well, they took them back, and they're taking them back, and they are taking them back rapidly. They were sending a lot of people to Venezuela. They said they wouldn't take them back, and they are taking back. But we're looking at Venezuela very seriously, and we're going to be able to. Don't forget, I've only been here for 3 weeks.
Just follow.
Yeah, please.
Just a little clarity on, are you inclined to continue to allow Venezuela through, I think, Chevron and other oil companies to export those petroleum products, or are you
maybe not
to pull back on?
Yeah, maybe not. We're looking at that now. I just got here. When I left, they weren't doing anything. They were ready to go. We give up. And then Biden came along and he gave them literally billions of dollars. I couldn't believe it, actually. And we have so much under our feet. Liquid gold, we have so much, and it was pretty amazing. So we're looking at that whole situation, why he did it. All right, how about one more? Yeah, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. What can you tell us about the CIA drone flights over Mexico? Is this the next step in the war against the cartels?
Well, we're going to see.
Should they have authority to take lethal action?
Mexico's allowed a tremendous number of people to go through their country into ours, and even people coming from Mexico, and illegals, totally illegal. They've allowed people to empty jails into Mexico and then let them come through with this totally ridiculous open border policy of the Biden administration. So millions of people have come in, and hundreds of thousands, and actually millions, are criminals. They came in from jails all over the world that release them into Mexico, and they come into our country. And they also came in from Canada, by the way, large numbers through Canada. In fact, when we closed up the one border, they came in through the other border. So Canada is not an uninterested party. But I will say this. We're dealing with Mexico. I have a very good relationship with Mexico. But I think Mexico is largely run by the cartels. And that's a sad thing to say. And if they wanted help with that, we'd give them help. But Mexico, if you look at what's gone on with Mexico for years now, but now especially, it's run by the cartels. And they've allowed millions of people to come into our country from jails and prisons of other countries from all over the world, not just South America, Africa, Asia, all over, a lot from the Congo in Africa, a lot. They opened their jails. They came in through Mexico. And we have some of the worst criminals coming in from the Congo and other places. So it's not just South America, and it's not just Venezuela, but they opened their jails. And you know the crime rates in Venezuela and other places all over the world has gone way down. You know why? Because they've given us their prisoners, they've given us their drug lords and their gang members. And it's hard to believe that we accepted this. It's hard to believe that we allowed open borders, and we're taking in, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of people coming in from all over the world that are absolute stone-cold criminals. In fact, 11,088 murderers, and many of those people have murdered more than one person. Why are they giving us these people, and why are we taking these people under Biden? You know, you had a border czar that never went to the border. Happened to be a vice president, never went to the border, never called the border people. I call them all the time. I speak to them all the time. But here's the good news. We have the most secure border we've ever had right now. As secure and even more secure than I had it 4 years ago. And the Border Patrol is doing incredible. ICE is doing incredible. Tom Homan's unbelievable. And Kristi Noem has been just working very, very hard, very, very hard. And we have the best numbers we've ever had. And we're going to keep it that way. And we're going to find out how a thing like this could have happened to our country, because who would allow this to happen? What they've done to our country is so sad. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, press.
Okay, it's the president wrapping up questions, a lot of questions at Mar-a-Lago. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. All right, big 5 o'clock hour coming up. We have 30 minutes of nonstop talk coming up straight ahead for you. Two big hours to go. Tomorrow we're live at the White House, we think. We hope. Either way, we're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.